All right, let's talk about aliens.
All right, so welcome back to The High Kind. It's me, Huntley. I'm with Andy and David as usual. What have you guys been up to?
Oh, man. Continuing quarantine.
Continuing quarantine.
All of the fun things that come from that.
Yeah, it's interesting times we live in.
Yeah. No, not too much. Politics stuff, some job hunting, trying to get something a little bit more sane, which would be nice. But not too much.
Yeah. Andy, what are you up to?
Starting new project. So hoping to I'm doing art again for the first time on a regular basis, like 13 years. So hoping to start a little shop so I can use some of my knowledge, my esoteric and mythological and my studies of religion and everything over the last 4 years and put it to some practical use. So, So I'm just going to be pretty much slogging away every week for the next 2 months to produce artwork, I guess. Yeah. That's going to be my life for a while.
That's awesome, though.
It's awesome. It's a good life. It's going to be hard, but I'm determined. So.
But yeah. You're ready to plow through to the cornfields of destiny.
Amen. Amen, bro.
That's right.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yep, me too. It's been a while.
I've never forgotten about it, clearly.
Oh, God.
So, this week, David is the lead. And tell us what you're going to tell us about.
Yeah, so this is going to be about it's going to be a couple stories, but it's from a collection of stories about people going missing in the wilderness, mostly in North America. Well, mostly America, but it says North America. There's some in Canada, but so there's a couple, it's a series of investigations by David. Oh, I'm going to mispronounce his last name. David Pilates. And he's an ex-cop, and now he investigates mysterious disappearances in the North American wilderness. He's done about 10 books or something like that. Damn. And it's titled Missing 411. And there's like different versions of them. And overall, he's investigated about 1,200 missing cases. And he's come up with a set of characteristics, of attributes that kind of, not all cases share all of these attributes in common, but there's like a pool that they all have to some varying degree. And I'll just go over the attributes now. Well, yeah, I'll go over the attributes now, and then I'll get into the main stories. So there's about like 10, 12 of these. There's a point of separation, which is where the victim is separated from anyone else in their group. There's a time of disappearance, which is most commonly in the mid to late afternoon. It usually happens around boulder fields, which with particular emphasis on granite boulders and other rock fields. Commonly happens around water. There's usually a weather event associated either very shortly after the disappearance or a couple days afterwards. This could be anything from dust storms to heavy rains to blizzards, anything. There's often a disability or illness associated with the person. There's also that canines they either can't track the person or they have difficulty catching a scent. And this is the most common one, the most common attributes. It's in about 95% of the cases where dogs have a hard time tracking these people down, or their remains, or clothes, or whatever. Sometimes they are found in an area that was previously searched by rescue crews and search operations. There's missing clothing. sometimes there's nothing found at all, but when there is something, it's usually clothing. And usually the cause of death is unknown. And there's a kind of cluster, a geographical clustering, and there's anywhere, so there's like certain areas where this happens, and there can be anywhere between 3 and 80 people in each cluster. And this isn't just like ancient history either. This is stuff happening like as recently in the past couple years, like these stories have been reported. So we're not talking about, you know, cases where forensics wasn't as developed or whatever. This is like pretty modern. So, you know, there's always like cases of people disappearing, and even in the wilderness, you'd expect like your average hiker to get lost every now and then or something, and maybe they get found, or maybe they fall off a cliff or something in the middle of the night. And you know, unfortunate. Sometimes it happens. Oh,
like, just gonna go wander and just fall off this fucking cliff.
Just leave
a gigantic mystery behind. Joke's on you, family and friends.
Just took a step this too complete, far.
Just one step too far, and it's over. It's just, you out here, you're all out here searching like fucking schmucks, and I'm at the bottom of a rock pit, like the Mortal Kombat. Yeah, the other being, or like the Mortal Kombat pit.
God. Oh, that would be terrible. That gives a whole new meaning to one step too far.
Terrible way to die.
Yeah, that would be...
Finish him. Fatality.
Oh, good old games. Yeah, so, but the stories that I want to go over, there's three of them for tonight. And these are different. These are seasoned survivalists or hunters, people who know how to live in the wilderness, and they just mysteriously get lost. Or something happens to them. We don't really know what. So, the first one has to do with Thomas Messick. He is 82 years old. He went missing in the northeastern area of New York on November 15th, 2015. Thomas was an Army veteran. He had been a hunter and fisher for all of his life. He frequently went on trips with his children and his friends. He went to Brant Lake and like that general area pretty frequently to hunt, and he even taught hunting lessons to people in that area.
Quite an active 82-year-old.
Yeah.
Very active. And he was still active up until he went missing. He was going on regular outdoors trips. He did have, well, this isn't like particularly important, but he had gunpowder blow up in his face, and it partially messed up his vision in one eye.
Was that his disability?
He also had hearing aids. So he had a couple of disabilities. And I guess, well, one of his disabilities was not being an alcoholic, because him and his friends didn't drink heavily. They'd have a beer or something.
Disability
is not drinking like a fucking fish.
I might have worded that incorrectly, but, you know, yeah, we'll roll with it. Alcohol's good, kids.
Good message, David.
You know, I am a wholesome person.
This is going sometimes. Downhill already. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. So
the day that he disappeared, he was going on a short hunting trip. Supposed to be just a couple hours with 7 people in total, including himself. On Lily Pond Road, which is pretty close to a lake. Everyone had walkie-talkies, and their setup was 4 of the older gentlemen who were all in their 80s. They were spaced 100 yards out. Yeah, I know, these people are like hardcore.
Who the fuck is taking nursing homes on fucking hunting field trips?
This is like the geriatric A team or something.
Yeah, like no disrespect at all.
No, it's impressive.
It's impressive, but like, who in their right mind, like 180-year-old, I get. I'm like, oh, he loves to hunt. It's his favorite pastime. Yeah. But taking four?
Yeah, four, right?
What the actually, fuck?
A quick aside, I went kayaking with my dad, like, I don't know, some number of years ago, and one of the other random people on the, or whitewater rafting, that was it. There was straight up like an 80 or a 90 year old dude just like kicking awesome. Ass with us.
No, that's awesome. Badass. That's badass. And, I mean, as I said,
get out and do shit.
Yeah, no disparaging, but like these are the people that get lost in mall parking lots. Why the fuck are you taking them to the woods?
Oh. I mean, it seemed like a good idea at the time, I guess. Why else would you do it?
Go on.
There's some dark reasons, but yeah.
No. Oh no. Oh,
just the old Viking ceremony when the old people became a burden. They're just taking them out in the woods and they're just leaving them.
I mean, I was gonna say Soylent Green, secret Soylent Green that. Manufacturing.
I mean, that could be
location, but or just leaving them out in the woods to die. That's cool too. Like,
also known as Beyond Meat and Impossible Burger. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, go ahead.
I prefer Beyond personally. I don't know what old people they're making Beyond out of, but it's good.
Maybe we'll find out one day.
Putting that out there. Just putting that out there.
Anyways, we got four old geezers walking down the road, and they're spaced out 100 yards each. They're basically lining up to make it like a kill line for the deer that they're hunting or whatever. So, and they walk 30 to 40 yards into the forest, and they just kind of sit there and chill. And the other three, who were younger, I don't know how old they were, but they were younger-ish, middle-aged, and their plan was to kind of circle around this hill and go up the other side of the hill and then flush the deer downhill into the old geezer firing line.
Damn it. Sorry.
Who needs shiny buffets when you have all you can eat deer charging at you?
Yep. No Louis or no Golden Louis. Corral.
No, never again. Ugh.
Just I hate to say it. That's the best thing that's happened because of COVID is all these fucking buffets are gone.
True.
Oh man.
Okay. But yeah. So you know that was the plan. Cool. And none of the hunters heard any deer. However, one of the older people, Sid, was his name. He was second in line. Oh, so Tom, he was at the end of the line. So he was the furthest out away from the lake and where they parked and everything. Sid was second closest to the lake. And he said that he heard a strange noise at some point in the woods, about 150 yards towards the hill. And he said it sounded like, he had trouble describing it, but essentially it sounded like a snapping or crackling sound, not a normal sound that you'd hear in the woods, kind of like a big bear trap closing. And after a couple hours, everyone else reconvened and Tom never showed up. There were multiple and extensive searches done by the local town, by the forest rangers. They brought out the works. They had like helicopters with infrared cameras and shit. And on one of the search days, there was about 300 people. So this is like a pretty hardcore, extensive. They covered everything over the course of about 2 weeks. And even after like a couple years after, friends and family, you know, continued to go search for him when, you know, every now and then. Now, during the second day of the search, there were heavy rains. So that showed up. And then on the fourth day, the FBI showed up and they started poking around a little bit. Now, according to the person who wrote this missing series, the FBI doesn't investigate missing adults. Sometimes there's like special criteria for young children that go missing, but typically they don't investigate missing people. And but they still keep notes of, you know, these random occurrences. And apparently there are records of very similar, like, strange disappearances like this dating back to the 1960s. So we don't really know what to make of that. But yeah. The FBI is involved in this particular case for some reason. And on the 10th day of the search for Thomas, another person went missing. Fred Drum. He was 68 years old, and he was also a hunter. He went missing on Thanksgiving Day. And this was about 40 miles south of where Thomas went missing. And in Fred's case, his wife went out to a Thanksgiving banquet, and then when she came back, Fred was no longer there. And so when they were doing the searches, they didn't find any trace of this guy. There was no gun shells, no gun, no nothing. Hmm. Just like both of these people were just gone. And it all happened within, you know, like a week and a half of each other. So that's the first one. What do you guys think of it before I move on and to the other stuff?
I think that it's fishy that hunters are going missing, especially older hunters. They should be at home watching NCIS and not exactly. I know. I'm sorry. There's going to be lots of old jokes.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Exactly. Or Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they have what was the order that Thomas was in? Like, was he the oldest and that's why he was in the very back? Because that sounds pretty, like, not the best idea, in my opinion, to put the oldest person furthest away from the trucks.
Yeah, right. I don't think so. I didn't catch the age of the other people.
Okay.
They were all, so all the people in the line on the road were in their 80s, and Thomas was 82, so he may not have been the youngest. If he was, it wouldn't have been by much.
Okay.
So.
And did he disappear, like, and it was actually in the woods during this particular hunting trip? Like, was he you said he was the fourth in the line, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they were all 30 to 40 yards into the forest, so not like too far from the road.
So did they not know he wasn't there for a while or something while they were just waiting on animals? And then they were like how did they find out he was gone? I was just curious. Was it just like, does it say anything about the circumstances of like when they figured it out that, oh shit, where did Thomas go or whatever?
Yeah, this, the account that I saw of this, like, didn't go like super heavily into details. They did all have walkie talkies. So what I'm assuming, what I'm guessing happened is, you know, someone radioed in, hey, let's all meet up. You know, we didn't get anything. Let's all meet up at the trucks. And then, cool. You know, maybe Thomas just like didn't respond. And then they figured it out. Hey, where's Thomas?
I was just curious if there was any more like, I guess pretty much circumstantial evidence of what might have happened, but I guess not.
Not really. This was like the key points that I was able to find.
I don't know what to make of it at this point. Yeah, I mean, the snapping sound either. Thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But interesting. Nonetheless, and especially the geriatric A team is pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Although it's one member less now.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Not so much an A team.
That happens when you're all in your 80s and you're out in the woods, Ramboing it up, I guess.
Yeah,
that's right.
You're gonna lose someone. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too sure what to make.
I can't find my keys. My car.
Dude, where's my spaceship?
Also, when you're in your 80s, you start, many people start to show signs of dementia, Alzheimer's, memory loss. Do you really want them a gun and send them out in the middle of the woods to Just saying.
Personally, my personal opinion, if they want to have guns in their house, have at it. But like, I would not be taking an 80-year-old man to hunt. And that's just me personally.
No. I mean, what if he starts flashing back to like Normandy invasion or something, you know, like Omaha Beach.
I mean, he's out there. He was an army veteran, so.
So, hey, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so his disability, though, was just the hearing and the vision? Was that it?
Mm-hmm. That's another thing, is why are you going to take a person that can't hear and can't see that well?
I'm working on a theory.
Into the fucking woods. I wouldn't take an 80-year-old in the, like as I said before, I wouldn't take an 80-year-old in the woods anyways, but not one that can't hear very well and one that can't see very well.
And then not have be in direct eyesight of him at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point.
I have a theory, but I'm going to wait to see what the other stories involve. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mostly wanted to bring that one up because of the strange sound and also the FBI showing up for this particular thing is a little bit weird. But this is a little more just to kind of get the ball rolling. The other ones start picking up a little bit more. So the next story involves Aaron Hedges as the missing person, who is 38. And he went missing in the Crazy Mountains in Montana on September 7th, 2014. So the Crazy Mountains is an isolated mountain cluster kind of near the Yellowstone River. It's notoriously difficult terrain. It's very rough and rugged. It's a workout just to go up a basic trail. But if you follow any stream that's going downwards, you're going to end up at civilization at some point, right? This isn't like the Rockies or the Appalachians where you can just kind of get lost because it's just so massive and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just like this little pocket of mountains. You'll find civilization if you go downhill for long enough. The wildlife that people hunt up there is primarily consisting of deers, elk, black bears. I don't know if they hunt black bears, but they're up there. There have been some wolf and grizzly bear sightings up there in recent years, but not like they're not prevalent. So I brought that up because black bears, like you can deter black bears a lot easier than you can deter grizzly bears. They're still dangerous, but you can also just like bop them on the nose and probably not die in the process. So,
I'm not gonna boop a bear on the nose personally.
I'm not gonna go out of my way to do that either. But you know, if you have to, the options there.
You never know.
You never know. Boop. So there's boop. There's a couple myths and legends about the mountains, and one of I didn't look into all of them, but the more interesting one that was referenced was it basically goes that when the Crow Indians were driven off the land, off their land in the area, they put a curse on the mountains to cause the wind to blow and to drive the white man crazy. And yeah. So.
What Indian tribe was this?
The Crow Indians.
Gotcha.
So Aaron and two of his friends went on a week-long elk hunting trip up into the mountains, and they were stationing out of Campfire Lake, and they brought two horses and a mule with them. The weather was, this was in September, so the weather was in the 40s to 50s. It was pretty clear. The weather forecast wasn't showing anything unusual coming. There was no snow on the ground, so it was, you know, pretty like prime time to go hunting. And about halfway up the trip up to Campfire Lake, they had a horse wreck. I wasn't able to figure out exactly what happened or what caused the horse to wreck. But the mule, which was carrying basically all their gear, freaked out. And because of the rough terrain, it basically kicked off a lot of their gear, including all of Aaron's camping equipment. But they eventually made it to Campfire Lake, and they set up their camp and they started hunting for a couple days. So Aaron had been, he was very familiar with this area. He frequently went hunting up there. He had various stockpiles like stashed around the area with like emergency supplies and everything. So he knew this area, you know, inside and out. So everyone must have been feeling really comfortable going up here for an entire week. And so 2 days into the hunt, he decided to go up to a nearby stash to get some more supplies. So on September 5th, he left at 10 a.m. and there was a, Sunlight Lake, which is where his stash was. It was north of them, but there was like a mountain ridge in the way. So the path was like you had to go northeast a little bit, and then there was a fork in the road. And the fork went east and west. So he had to go west to get to Sunlight Lake. So he did that. And then the same day, he started making his way back. And at 5 p.m., so they all had like walkie-talkies, and these particular versions had GPS systems on them. So at 5 p.m. that day, they talked to each other, just figured out where everyone was. And according to the GPS data, now I don't know if the other people knew this at the time or if they just, you know, weren't paying attention. Aaron was starting to go eastwards, like at the fork. Apparently he had gotten lost and he started to go east, but like no one had realized that he was lost until the next day because he didn't show up at camp that night. And there was a creek running downwards in that direction, in towards the eastern direction. So they waited a full day for Aaron to get back. I guess they tried to get in contact with him, but for some reason contact was broken. And yeah, so they waited the full day of September 6th, and then they started looking for him on September 7th. They spent the whole day looking, and it was around 4 to 6 p.m. when a snowstorm started blowing in from the west on September 7th. And this was a pretty heavy snow. It snowed about 18 to 24 inches within 12 hours, which is, yeah, pretty severe. So that basically forced the other two hunters out of the mountains. So they went back to town. They made their way back to town. They signaled for help, saying, "Hey, you know, our friend is lost. We need to go find him." Now, it didn't say exactly how long the snowstorm lasted, but I guess it was just 12 hours. So it was just like overnight, and then it kind of stopped, and it was kind of clear the next couple days. So the search parties came from both sides of the fork of the trail, and no one saw any footprints leading out of the mountains. Now here's where things start getting a little bit weird. as if it wasn't like already weird enough. On the second day of the search, one of the dogs found Aaron's boots on a cliff that was above the creek going towards the east. The immediate area where the boots were found, it looked like it was a decent camping area. It was kind of flat, had some trees nearby so he could like take shelter potentially. They found the boots deliberately set side by side, a water bladder, like a camelback water bladder. And there was a fire pit in the area, which had a partially burnt cigarette container, which was the same brand that Aaron had smoked, and a partially burnt fire bundle of sticks in the fire pit, and two waist belts from like a camping backpack that were like cut off. And the theory behind the waist belts is that the padding that's on part of the belts could potentially be used for like to insulate your hands. So
or that fire was... starting too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. True. Or fire starting, yeah. Here's the thing. That was found on the second day of the search. That area was previously searched by the same people, and that stuff wasn't there at the time.
So like they missed him, basically?
No, it just wasn't there. Yeah, they might have like missed Aaron, but like his stuff.
But his stuff wasn't there when they checked before.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not there.
So it was like it was planted there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was either planted there or what they were theorizing is there was potentially like some kind of delirium from hypothermia. But then again, like this is an experienced hunter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of seems like. And it doesn't make any other, well, it makes less sense because kind of around the area, like leading up to this, you know, area on the cliff where they found his stuff. It's like a boulder field and the rocks mm-hmm. are not set. So they're very loose. It's very difficult to navigate. And there were also, if he had continued traveling east, there were scree piles, and scree is a collection of broken rock fragments at the base of crags, mountain cliffs, volcanoes, or whatever that has accumulated through periodic rock fall from adjacent cliff faces. So basically, mm-hmm. you can't really walk on that with your bare feet, and he would have figured that out real quick.
Yeah, it's probably really sharp, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Like little blades. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that was all that they found from the search attempts at the time. Now, 9 months later, which was July of the next year, 2015, some ranchers kind of further up in the same direction that Aaron was supposedly traveling in, they found his backpack deliberately set up leaning against a tree. And next to his backpack was his hunting bow and an orange vest and an empty thermos and an empty energy drink placed on a rock as if like he was using that rock as a table. It wasn't like scattered or anything. It was just like standing upright. And inside of the backpack had Aaron's license, some unopened snack bars, a gun, a 44 Ruger Red Hawk, apparently. And presumably a lighter, though that wasn't really confirmed, but some people said he might have had a lighter with him in that pack.
This is really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
9 months later. Even,
yeah, this was 9 months later. And what's particularly weird about this location is that if you look down, you could see the other ranchers and you could see a road. So you could just see civilization and just kind of walk there. But for some reason, his stuff was kind of left there in like deliberately placed kind of fashion, which is the weird part. And this is the last bit of the story. 1 year after that, there were some people staying at a dude ranch who found they were just riding horses around somewhere and they found Aaron's skull underneath a dead tree. So the searchers went back out to investigate the general area and they found not all of his remains, just some of his remains kind of scattered throughout the area. And they also found his jacket and his cell phone, but they couldn't recover any data from the cell phone.
And what kind of tree? Was this a tree that was regularly frequented by people?
That I could not find out.
Good question.
Dead tree. That's all it said.
Was it also kind of like a... Was it also like a presentation? Those items? Were they like...
That...
Like a scene? Specified.
That wasn't okay. specified. Yeah, I don't think so. So all in all... From Red Fire, or not Red Fire, Campfire Lake, was the last place that Aaron was seen. The boots were found 6 miles from there, and the rest of his remains were found 11 miles. And it's kind of like eastwards of everything.
Not to mention the time difference, yeah.
Yeah, the time difference, right. So that's That's the end of that story. Now, I have that one.
Did he have a disability? Like the older man did? Okay.
Not that was mentioned. It didn't sound like it. It didn't sound like he had a disability of any kind. In fact, people said that he had pretty good common sense and frequently visited that area, wasn't dumb, apparently. I guess that's what they were trying to say, is he wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
Just like in the nice way. I've got my own take on this, but what do you guys think of this?
I find it puzzling. Like, I want to know more about the tree. Like, how often do people like frequent it? Like, is it on a trail where people walk by it a lot? Or was it, had that skull been there for like months? Or was it just conveniently placed there maybe like a couple of days before somebody was like, there's a skull next to this dead tree? Mm-hmm. And was the skull fully intact? Was it just like...
Yes.
It was fully intact, no damage to it, no cracks.
Yeah,
that's a good question. Is there any animal bites or any markings showing decomposition by animals or anything like that on any of the remains? Because you would have claw marks on the bone.
They didn't mention anything like that. They said they found like a skull, a femur, his pelvis, like a couple of other things.
There would be forensic evidence, I would assume, you know, of some kind of animal has been, you know, if his body just happened to be getting, I don't know, passed along this stretch of land over the period of a year or something like that. But yeah, I don't,
being dragged around by something.
But the thing is, though, like it would have evidence of that. So. But this all sounds more like a scene is being set or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Setting the stage of just being like, oh, here's this skull under a tree. And like, here's the jacket after we conveniently placed a campfire and boots nice and orderly. Mm-hmm. And like, did the search team like pass over the campfire once and not see it?
And then just come back.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I just wanted a clarification. Like, they went to that same spot, didn't see shit, came back the next day just to double check, and they're like, oh shit. Because that's fishy right there. Is like, how do you, like, I can get missing like a boot, but how do you miss a campfire, a belt, and boots nicely placed?
Cigarettes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like something placed it there.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying. It's like there was nothing there, apparently. And it was the same people who had gone over it before, and they didn't see anything the day or two before. And then suddenly on day two, there's the stuff. Mm-hmm. All nice and orderly. Yeah, there was nothing there.
I'm going to reserve my theories till the end, as usual.
So. Okay. I'll give my quick thoughts on this. Or Huntley, do you have anything?
No, I just wanted a clarification on the camping equipment and like his boots.
Yeah, gotcha. My thing is, so given that he was very familiar with the area, I mean, he's got fucking stockpiles like mapped away and shit. This reminded me of that last encounter from the other episode that I was leading with the Arizona desert with the gateway, where the guy who is telling this collection of stories, and then he went back up to him, back up there for himself, and then he got lost. He got misdirected by something. He was already familiar with the area because he'd been up there a couple times, and then he was just like, wait, I shouldn't be on this side of the canyon because I definitely didn't go down that way. I'm thinking something similar happened to Aaron when he tried to go back down the fork and tried to take the turn back to Campfire Lake, and something misdirected him to go eastward for some reason. Beyond that, I don't know what happened, but I think that's how he got lost, because I don't see any other explanation for how an experienced survivalist who knows the area just like takes a wrong turn. And there wasn't any snow there. It was completely clear. Like nothing was obscuring his vision.
What state was this again?
This was
Montana.
Montana. Yep. Okay. The Crazy Mountains.
All right.
So, cool. Yeah. That's all I got for that one. So, so the last one is where some weird shit happens. I think.
Oh, really?
Well, even more weird shit happens. Okay. And I think after I explain everything, I don't know if we can put this clip on the show because there might be copyright issues, but I'll send you guys a link. It's just like 3 minutes long. So you can like experience it for yourself. But you know how I said there was strange sounds with the first case? This gets cranked up to a whole new level. So this is in the Stanislaus National Forest, which is east of Sonora, California. It's kind of like the northern edge of like the Sierras. So there have been like multiple disappearances in this area. So it's got that geographical cluster thing going on. But this particular location was asked to remain hidden and undisclosed. So basically, a group of hunters had been going up to this secret spot up in the mountains since the 1970s. Apparently, the camp had that they kind of hung around at and went hunting with around, that had been around since the 1950s, but they had been going up there every year since the 70s. And apparently this area is, quote, somewhere between Yosemite and Lake Tahoe. And throughout the decades that these hunters, that this group of friends has gone up there, there have been strange sightings and some kind of close encounter with something that they didn't have like direct contact. So the original hunting members who came to the camp are Warren and Lewis Johnson, Bill McDowell, and Ron Moorhead. Ron said he started coming up to the camp in 1971. He took really good care of it. It's a very pristine location. So, you know, being the good hunter that he is, taking care of everything, leaving no trace. And not too many other people came up there for a while. Now, the camp was it's like a big makeshift fort made out of big, like sturdy logs and stuff. And just kind of like tied around a couple of trees nearby. And in 1971 is when they first started encountering some weird stuff, mostly strange sounds in the night. And it usually happened around dusk when it's getting dark and also in the middle of the night a little bit. And they said it ranges from like this like kind of whooping animal call sound, and then just indecipherable speech. Like it sounds like some kind of communication, but
like human speech,
similar,
more animal. Did they say
it's some kind of intelligent speech? Yeah, it's not just like there were like weird animal grunts and like weird sounds, but there was definitely some kind of like deliberate language going on. At some points. And so they were like mimicking some of the weirder sounds, and these creatures, whatever they were that appeared to be responding to them a couple times. And so they recorded. They have like actual audio recordings of this stuff. And just to make sure that it was like legit, and they just wanted to figure out what the hell was going on, they sent the audio to be analyzed by Dr. R. Lynn Curlin, who is a professor of electrical engineering at the University of Wyoming. And he said that whatever made the sounds was larger than a man, somewhere between 7'3" and 8 foot tall. And there was more than one creature. And the vocal range was both lower and higher than what humans are capable of. Now, unfortunately, they weren't able to get an image of them. So they had these, you know, conversations or encounters or witnesses of these creatures pretty much every year they went up there, sounds like. And this wasn't just like a one-off occasion. They also reported hearing some other strange sounds. One of them was like a big tuning fork, just ringing for some amount of time. And also sounds similar to a car door slamming. This is out in the middle of the woods, so what's, you know, there's no cars out there. Sometimes it sounded like their camp was being torn apart by something and things were being tossed around and beaten on and whatever. But when the noise subsided and they went out to investigate, nothing had changed. Nothing happened. Everything was perfectly intact. They also reported seeing lights, kind of like orbs, kind of like what happened in the Arizona desert. They described it as a big blue ball that was slowly moving, and it seemed controlled of some sort, whether it had a will of its own or it was controlled by something else. So they did see the orbs, and there was one occasion where Ron and his wife went up there, and they reportedly saw a sort of an elongated light, kind of like about 3 feet long and a few inches in diameter. And he described it kind of like a lightsaber, and it was just kind of slowly hovering above the ground, traveling past them. And it wasn't really bright light, but it was glowing, and traveled for, I don't know, maybe 50 feet around them before dissipating within their visual sight. So that's the weird stuff coming from this area. Now, I will send you the link in the group chat, and it's about 3 minutes if you guys want to. I guess about 2 minutes for like the audio recording, and the other minute is kind of a little description of what's going on. So if you want to listen to that and then share your thoughts.
Okay. It's a pretty good shelter.
Yeah, right. It's an awesome tree fort.
Okay. So that's the whooping.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds sort of like an owl, like a barred owl, but not exactly.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like an owl.
Well, I thought barred owls have a unique sound.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of like coyote at first.
That could be too. The fuck? What the fuck?
Hmm? Yep.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds like a language. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? It sounds like they're arguing or something. Like,
that's what I was about to say, is it sounds like they're arguing with each other.
In whatever language that is.
Yeah. That is creepy.
Holy shit.
That is creepy. That took the you're right. The last story like took it up to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh, that's clearly a language. Yeah, that's definitely communication.
That's them communicating.
Yeah, yeah. What I heard, I heard the weird like whooping sounds. I was like, oh yeah, this is just weird. Yeah, it's not going to be anything. And they start like fucking talking to each other. Like, what?
What the fuck?
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I was just like, that's when I was like, all right, that is strange. That is very strange.
So which person from this group disappeared? Did any of them disappear, or is this just like...
No, none of them disappeared. This is just like weird shit.
It's because they fucking stayed together like common sense people would fucking do.
Yeah, they stuck together. They didn't leave their fort. They barricaded themselves.
That's all it takes. That's all it fucking takes, people. Uh-huh. It's like if you've watched any fucking horror movie, that's all it takes is just stay together. Stay together. Yep. Unless it's one of you or the killer, then you're fucked. But generally speaking, just stay together.
No, Velma, I think we should split up.
Oh, God. It's just like every time it's just like, I'm going to check upstairs. I'm like,
everyone watched way too much Scooby-Doo. That's where it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We all know. I can solve
this mystery on my own. No, not with those fucking sounds. You can't. You're not solving shit. And if you're going to try to solve shit, you're going to be ripped in fucking half like the fucking Bigfoot did to that person in the woods. Yep. Just like basically pop their head off. No. No.
Oh, man. Okay. God. All right. I got some thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. But I'll let you guys. I'll go last, as always. I like going last if I can.
David, you go off first.
Oh, man. So I don't know how these three stories are connected. I think the first one and the third one have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. So, you know, I already said with the second one, I think some kind of force misdirected this, misdirected Aaron. And that's what got him lost. And then who knows what the fuck happened? Maybe some of these creatures that we see, that we heard in the third one, in the third story, maybe they were living up in the crazies, and this ancient Indian curse kind of led Aaron to at least one of them, and then he just had fun tearing apart his body or some shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, and maybe this is like what Bigfoot is all about. Like, maybe this is the actual Bigfoot sightings, or maybe it's just something entirely different. Either way, it's some kind of creature.
He's pulling out the fucking rods. I saw him.
He is pulling out the rods.
Shit.
he's pulling out the fucking rods.
Divining.
That's great. Yeah. So the third story. Yeah.
That's red-handed.
Some kind of civilization that's, you know,
it's like wall hacks.
It is. It's like wall hacks for sure. Now, the weird noise from the first story, that the snapping bear trap, I don't think that's related to either of those two. I think maybe that's like a, I don't know, like an alien landmine that went off or some shit and just snatched up the old dude for some reason and said, "Hey, you're coming with us for something."
It's a fucking mispick. They're like trying to fucking stalk, and like they're trying to find a good human. And they're like, "Well, let's get one of these young, nice strapping hunters." And it's just like somebody that's new to the crew and just picked the old one that can't hear and can't see.
Yeah,
it's a fucking mispick.
Yep, they're just like, "Oh, this one's trash. Let's try again somewhere else in the country."
Put him in the trailer.
Put him in the decomposing pile. Let's go. Let's find another.
So the second story with Aaron was Montana. Where was the third one?
Mm-hmm. The third was in California, Sonora, California, which is kind of like the northern. It was east of that in the Stanislaus Mountain National Forest.
But all of these are mountain ranges, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, I think pretty much the first story was like a mountainous area, but it wasn't like necessarily a mountain range. It was. I don't know.
How far similar does the terrain
go up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar to terrain.
Yeah, where was the first one again? What location?
Northeastern New York.
Oh, that's a totally different part of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Very disconnected. And that's where the FBI showed up, mind you.
But they didn't bother showing up at these other cases.
Not that was reported. No,
none that you were. No, okay. Yeah, probably have notes.
They would definitely say, I think, if the FBI showed up for these. Gotcha. The National Park Forest Ranger Association, something, was aware of the camp in, I think, 2014. And mm-hmm. they told the hunters to basically take down the fort because you're not supposed to be here, pretty much.
Okay.
But that's about all of the official involvement that was done with that last story. So that's my take. Some kind of civilization that's just kind of trying to live there, and maybe they're violent and pissed off that we're encroaching on their territory.
Yeah. I gotcha. So
do you think they're human or something else?
I mean, they're between reportedly, you know, according to that engineer, between 7 and 8 feet tall. They could be humanoid. Could be like an owl bear or something. I don't know.
Owl bear. Yeah, I forgot about owl bear.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, WWE wrestlers. Just like that over 7 feet also tall.
A possibility.
They're just choke slamming things into the woods. They're just choke slamming all the time.
Just
slam. They're not even calling their matches correctly.
Oh god.
I knew you'd find some way to take this the comedy direction.
Yeah. I have to.
Well, it's your turn. So
yes. So
what's going on, Huntley?
I am going to continue rolling with this. This is a bunch of pro wrestlers. It's a family of pro wrestlers. That's why they're in different locations across the country. They're traveling from region to region. They haven't evolved to like the big leagues. They're in those like weird like little gymnasium wrestling shows that you see at like the VW or the FW lodges, and it's just like that's how that they don't make enough money doing that, so they got to do something else. So they are choke slamming people into the woods and taking their money. And they're just like, well, we got to dispose of this body somehow. So they're throwing them into rivers. And then their favorite, like, foreign object to use is clearly boulders. Like, they're big dudes. So they're just, like, picking up boulders and just be like, ah, smash. It's like the chair shot to them.
Obviously.
So,
I guess they've been at this for so long that they've, like, actually devolved, like, a little bit evolutionary.
Have you seen so her they've, wrestling like, forgotten.
Well, I was going to ask, is this like that guy you guys showed me, that Juggalo wrestler guy that would injure himself?
Superhuman?
Yeah, you showed me that.
He got a free shout out on this. Oh, yeah,
is he part of this?
No, he's too small.
Oh, okay.
He is too small.
While that dude has some like fucking high pain tolerance, he is too small to be one of these. No, I think it's you know, Sasquatch Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I'm leaning on. If I'm going the non-absurd direction, I'm thinking it's we're circling back to Bigfoot again. And I think it's a family of them, and they're nomadic.
Yeah. Okay, well, I had three theories I was working on, and I was divining to kind of whittle them down to one. I had some ideas that, yeah, the same kind of idea that maybe this is a Yeti, Bigfoot type situation, you know, a white thing or whatever God, they have, white thing. Yes. But I'm not so sure. I don't know. The noises are interesting. You know, the whooping and then the language at the same time, which is clearly a language. If anyone, like, we should definitely post a link to that video so people can listen to it. But mm-hmm. It is definitely seems like there's some sort of structure and communication and almost arguing going on between whatever these things were in that tape. I don't know. There's a few things that kind of jumped out at me. in obviously some of the locations, they're all kind of in these same kind of regions. You know, as it was pointed out in the beginning, there's a lot of granite, stone, and water sources and different weather events, things like that happening. The one being in New York, though, that is kind of like way out of the way. Although, if it is something like Bigfoot or Big Feet, then there's, you know, a good chance, you know, like we talked about before, there's these different versions of them everywhere, pretty much, it seems like, across the country, depending on whatever region you're in, there's almost always a myth of something similar to it. So that's still a possibility. The other idea I had was maybe they're like accidentally like slipping. Maybe these are like those weak points, kind of like the gateway, the Stargate. In Arizona, maybe these are like just natural weak points and people are just like accidentally falling into the upside down, you know, or something like that. If you want to look at it from Stranger Things or the Astral or something like that, maybe getting ripped apart by a Demogorgon or some shit. I don't know. But the thing about that story with
the Mitchell Wrestling Federation,
yes. The Demogorgons on the team. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. You can keep going with that.
They automatically win all their matches.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. The terrible concept now coming into my mind of like Astral WWE and, you know, just terrible. Fucking aliens and like grays getting like body slammed and shit like that. And they're just the warm up. You know, they're just the entertainment.
They're not even the main event.
No,
they're not even the mid card. They're just the opening show.
Oh, yep. No. God, terrible.
The dark matches.
I started watching Glow today. And so like silly wrestling stuff is sadly on my mind. It's a good show, though. So the other thing, though, was the story about Aaron with his boots and everything, like, and you know, it sounds like scenes are being set, right? Now, are these scenes being set to throw people off the trail, or are they being set because it's some kind of creature taunting them or something, or some person taunting them, right? It could be a serial killer for all we know. Is it that kind of thing? I don't know. The fact that you found the skull 9 months later, like, and the way it's placed, all of that just screams to me that it was setting. You know, the fact that you still had food in the bag and all that kind of stuff, and like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense, right? Because some of that food was uneaten, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, unless he was just murdered and his body was left there, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, it sounds like a scene is being set, which implies intelligence, which, of course, a Bigfoot has, but I think. But I don't know if it's that, like, if it cares enough to do something like that, I guess. I mean, yeah, obviously, with that story where it like dismembered that person and put its torso in a tree, I guess, as a totem, I guess this could be something similar. But to me, that implies a lot of intelligence. Hmm. And then the last piece of information that I kind of zoned in on was the disabilities thing. So it's, if that's a very common trait, to me, that says there's a predator hunting them. Predators normally pick out the weak or the young when they're hunting. You know, that just, it makes perfect sense for that would apply to a predator of any kind, right? So like, if you're looking for a quick meal and you see some old man who's got hearing, who can't hear very well and has bad vision in one eye, then it's not really, I guess,
yeah, that's a golden corral.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
probably
exactly.
Ate there too.
So my theory, the one I'm going with, is, have you ever heard of the Wendigo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so Wendigos are a common myth also in the United North America that's amongst multiple Native American tribes. It often happens in a few different ways. Sometimes it's a curse that's put on white man often. So that's interesting because that linked to the Crow myth in your story. But sometimes they were pioneers, sometimes they were miners, sometimes they were frontiersmen, things like that. And it would happen to Native Americans as well in the, a lot of the myths, but something would happen. They would get cut off, a blizzard, whatever would happen. And basically they would, these individuals, they were human, they resorted to cannibalism to survive, and eventually went mad and kind of became, they become these kind of like apex predators, I guess. Like, you imagine it, the intelligence of a human being with the savagery of like a lion or I don't know, a wolf or something like that, right? So that's kind of the myth around those, is that, you know, they were kind of these evil spirits for the Algonquin tribes and things like that. And you see it a lot in the Canadian mythology, and some like in Wisconsin and stuff like that. So there's some links there in the same regions, you know, these mountainous regions, and there are cannibals and they're highly intelligent. And there's some modern stories that use them. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Cave, I think it was. It was a horror movie. But basically, yeah, they're like these families of these, basically they were Wendigos. They were cannibal. Like,
are you thinking of the Cave or The Descent?
It must have, was it The Descent that had like the family? Yeah,
it had all of them in there, and it was the females that went spelunking.
Yeah. But they had been reduced to this savage nature.
Yeah. And they had basically devolved.
Exactly. And they live underground and all that kind of stuff. So their other senses are much more advanced, and and sense of smell and hearing, which is another common trait of the Wendigo myth, is they kind of transform into this superhuman type entity. They're no longer like human at all, according to the myths. They become something more than that. So I think that's what I'm going to go with. I think also, I mean, that's what my divination hinted towards, basically. And it's also one of the things that it seems like the behavior of a hunter to me. And the noises do sound like some sort of communication, almost human communication of some sort. So maybe there are these families of devolved
things,
savage cannibals. Maybe that myth exists for a reason. I don't know.
I had a crazy theory pop into my little stone brain while you were talking.
Do it.
I think it's just a herd of cats.
Oh God.
Oh, no. I think it's just a herd of cats. That's what that noise is. Is it's a bunch of cats release yowling the across the wood. It's echoing, and that's why they left the skull. The herd of cats just left the skull at the tree as a gift.
As a gift.
I think I've blown this shit up. I think it's cats. Cats. I think it's just just feral fucking cats across the country, and they've had enough. I don't know. It just came to my brain when like you brought up the tree. I was just like, oh, cats love to bring gifts.
It's true. Yeah, I had a dead bird right across my floor last week. Yeah,
remember that Alocalypse episode, right?
Release the kitties.
Release the kitties.
Well, the other thing though, like, those noises though are really unique, because I've gone camping a lot, and I've heard some weird shit out there that will chill you to the bone. Like, if no one's heard a bobcat scream before in the middle of the night,
it catches you off guard.
Oh, and it sounds like someone's being it sounds like a woman being brutally murdered. It is one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, like a barred owl has this very like whoop whoop woo kind of noise it makes, and it sounds kind of similar but not quite. So it is a very unique sound, and it does sound human or something like it, that's for sure. But I'm going Wendigo, a tribe of Wendigos.
David.
You know, man, the Wendigos sound pretty convincing. My only alternative is, you know, big feet.
Yeah, it's one or the other, I think.
Cats.
And cats. Or it's just a herd.
Or it could be cats.
A herd of 100 cats all in heat at the same time.
Yes. That's obviously it.
No, I'm Winnebago. That's I agree. I'm with Andy on that.
And I think and you know, the Wendigo probably, because these hunters were like fortified, right? So they probably, that's probably where the frustration came from. Yeah. Trying to figure out how to break the fortifications.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. Couldn't figure it out.
Well,
my connection's acting up.
I think that would be the way to end it then, of just like, we agree that it's the Winnebago.
Yeah.
And anybody have any?
I think so. I mean, fortifications would have prevented,
and it could travel long distances. Any plugs? The New York one.
Yeah. Although the New York one, nothing yet.
Yeah. I'm going with the New York one's
weird to me, but
bear
trap. Alien bear trap
to the mothership.
No.
Alien bear trap.
Yeah.
Holly's got cats. I've got Close one of and Dave's got aliens. There we go.
All right. Well,
we've explained it. I don't even have to come up with a movie.
I know there has not.
But there hasn't been a movie about a herd of Roman cats just murdering people. So.
And this is cheap enough that potentially could make it if I put the effort into it. I am just going. It's a sci-fi original. I'm pretty sure PETA would get called on me really quick if I'm just going shelter to shelter in 100-mile vicinity and just taking all the cats, though. Pretty sure that would be frowned upon.
They'd crack down on that shit.
They would crack on. Well, on that note, we're the High Kind. If you like what you hear, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on Amazon now, so you can subscribe to us on Amazon. Give us faves, stars, hearts, whatever the hell it is on your platform. Helps people find the show. Leave a review. It helps. And you can find more material in the show at thehighkind.com.